A rock and roll legend has died, but Cosmo Matassa didn't wield a guitar or pound the keyboards. He made his reputation behind the glass of the studio wall. Matassa died yesterday in a New Orleans hospital at the age of 88. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett has this appreciation.
Music scholars like to talk about a New Orleans sound of the 1950s. Choppy guitar and syncopated piano laid over a strong rhythm track and topped by powerful vocals. One of the main reasons that sound is so familiar is because Cosmo Matassa put it on tape. His J&M Studios recorded some of the most famous rock and rhythm and blues performers to come out of the Crescent City. Little Richard, Lloyd Price, Professor Longhair, and Fats Domino. Like his contemporary Sam Phillips in Memphis, Matassa ran a low-budget recording operation, and he was a stickler for sound. When his studio was honored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010, Matassa told me that he sometimes bent musicians' union rules that dictated how long a recording session could be.
A session was 3 hours, period. But we recorded whatever it took.
We're talking about 8, 10 hours or more. 15 hours sometime.
Herb Hardesty played tenor on many of Fats Domino's sessions and recalls Matassa as a patient man in the studio. Mac Rebenek, better known as Dr. John, was a session guitarist and pianist on a number of those J&M studio recordings. And in a 2011 interview, he said Cosmo Matassa had a keen sense of what his equipment could do.
He knew how to use the mic, so that was my thing. Cos had the horn section lean into the mic to play a solo. So he didn't have to change a mix. The guys did it themselves.
Old man rhythm is in my shoes. It's no use to sitting and singing the blues. So be my guest, you got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
Each of the regional recording studios had their own sound, says music scholar John Brovin, and at J&M Studios, the room became another instrument in the mix.
So in other words, you could listen to a New Orleans record in the 1950s, and you could say to yourself, that was made at Cosmo Matassa's studio.
The sound of J&M Studios was also informed by the multiracial character of the sessions. In a tiny recording studio in the deep south of the 1950s, just a few feet from the place where slaves were sold a century before, Cosmo Matassa, the son of a Sicilian immigrant, ran a colorblind operation that captured the sound of his community, says his son, Michael.
When my dad was doing it, there was a community. My dad worked with black people when nobody else was really going to. He helped them do what they were capable of doing.
We were sort of class united against the rest of the world, you know, in the true sense of that.
And Cosmo Matassa sent that message out to the rest of the world through music. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.